Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us today on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, standing in for Coach Anna McCoy. This is Shauna Stallworth, and we are live today on Blog Talk Radio on Woman Act Now Radio for blogtalkradio.com. We have some exciting things that we're going to share with you today, and I am so happy that you have joined us here on Woman Act Now Radio. Some of the things that will be coming down the pike, we want you to stay tuned to our website at www.womanactnow.com. If you haven't purchased your new copy or your new copy of Anna McCoy's new book, Woman Act Now, Learn, Launch, Live Your Dream, do so today by visiting our website at www.womanactnow.com. That's womanactnow.com is all over the place. So I just want to let you know that we are excited about what we're going to be talking about today. It will be a pre-recorded show entitled Live Your Dream. So we want to encourage you, don't touch that dial. Tell your girlfriend in the next cubicle, girl, log on to Blog Talk Radio and type in Woman Act Now Radio and listen to what's going on. So join us now as we listen to Live Your Dream.
Ma'am, those of you who pick up the book, you'll be able to read her bio in the jacket of the book. Dr. Anna McCoy is a businesswoman, an inspirational international speaker. She's a life coach. She's a wife, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. But that's not how I would introduce her. I'd like to say that she's an honorable woman, a woman of great price when you find women who are honorable, virtuous women. She's a woman who has discovered her God-given gifts, and she understands her destiny in the Lord. One of the other things I'd say about Anna is that she's a grateful woman, and I appreciate that about her so much, and she has such a gift for maintaining and keeping covenant relationships. She was a member of Crusade Christian Faith Center many years ago. I met her as a young, crazy college student. And today she's a grown-up minister and businesswoman and life coach. And Anna has never forgotten what she received in this house. Now, she's received things from many, many places. There have been many deposits in her life. I'm not sure what we planted and what we watered. I know we had a part of it. And again, it happened many, many times, cycles throughout the year. But she has never forgotten what she received in this house. And that excites me. There's so many people who come through you. And many times they never look back and they never think about what they picked up along the way. But Anna has this unique gift to stay connected. Sometimes if I forget, she never forgets. She never comes to town and not spend time with Bishop or spend time with me. But you're in for such a blessing today because she is truly, in addition to being honorable and grateful and a wonderful wife, mother, sister, and friend, she is God-charged and anointed. I've looked forward to this day. I wanted it for you because I'm in touch with her and connected to her all the time. But I believe that she has something to share with this house today, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Coach Anna McCoy. Would you give her a Crusade Christian Faith Center welcome?
Very much. You know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, can I preach in this house? Can I teach in this house? I have so many emotions, and every time I come up to speak, you know, so I'm going to do my very best to manage those emotions. Because even as I look around this room and I think of all of the leaders and the pastors and individuals who, I mean, they love me so much. Oh my God. someone recently asked me, she said, Anna, do you cry? Yes. You know, I shouldn't have put any mascara on today. Because I knew, I thought I'd be, you know, really cool. But, you know, when I look around the room and I see your faces, I see the children who were children and they're adults and they're moving in destiny and purpose. And Mercedes, I saw her over on the clarinet and I just thinking about it, you know. The lives that you have touched as leaders in this church that you may not know, Pastor Christina, Pastor Lorraine, Pastor Ford, Evangelist Harper, Pastor Jerry. Man, there are so many of you. Man, you have touched my life so deeply, so very deeply. I am so very grateful to you. There is no place on earth that I can go without carrying you with me. Everybody know where I'm from? Shoot. Everybody know. I don't be keeping it no secret. I say, these are my people. And so I just want you to know, I had to get that out of the way so I can get where I'm going. But I'm just so grateful to be here. I don't take it lightly that I'm here, but I'm so excited to share with you what God has shared with me. Boy, for years, just growing and maturing, and oh boy, y'all had something to deal with, you know? Y'all had something to deal with up in here. But I just want you to know, if nobody else tells you that your time, your talent, all of your resources, all of your pain and suffering, even just thinking about, come on, girl, come on, we can do this. You can get farther. You can do better. Pastor Lloyd, you have no idea. I have words from you just that, you know, well, you know, we just crazy about keeping them journals and notes and things, and you have no idea. So I just want you to know that I'm so very grateful. So what I'm going to talk to you about today, what God has been doing in my life so many years, I'm so excited. I got to get this out the way, too, because if anybody knows me, there's one person in my life that I cannot leave out. And that is my sweetheart. Hot dog it. Y'all got me ready for that man. And let me tell you, when Pastor met him, you know, he's a man of few words. You can probably guess what he said. He looked at Richmond, and he says, she's yours now. My friend said, what do you mean? I said, you'll find out. No explanation required. You'll find out. And, you know, he tells me I need to come back for a tune-up every now and then. But my husband, Richmond, oh, my gosh, he is, let me tell you, you're looking at him today. You are looking at this man. He called me this morning. He won't let me know what God wants me to preach about. Every time I get up, he's got a word from God for me. And he's so funny. Let me get it out of the way because I'm going to go on and do my thing when I finish talking about my sweetheart. But he called me this morning, so he sends his love and his greetings to all of you. But he says, now, friend, and I'm going to preach out of this today because the man has obviously heard from God, and I did not. So I'm going to preach his message for him since he couldn't fly here to be with you. But he called me this morning. He says, honey, what did you get from God? And I said, nothing. He said, don't worry about it, baby. I got you back. He said, the Lord said for you to speak. This was yesterday, actually. He says, the Lord wants you to speak out of Genesis 12. He said, did you read it? I said, I read it. And he could try to get deep. Oh, did you read it before you went to sleep? I said, yeah. He said, so you slept on it? I said, yeah. So this morning he says, well, what you get? I said, nothing. I didn't get a thing, but I'm going to preach on it anyway. And maybe the Lord's going to give it to me. He's just going to drop it in when I start preaching. And so, but my sweetheart, he is the love of my life. I would do nothing to violate my relationship with my husband. That's how much I care about him. Anything that looks like it's a threat to this relationship, it can no longer remain in our environment. Because I love him, I know he's assigned to me, and I'm assigned to him. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep my assignment because I love him. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I lose focus. So, Richmond, if you watch this tape, you know I've talked about you, honey. So, Father, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be a witness for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you will have your way, Father. I thank you, Father, if but one, an audience of one, that will hear your voice through me, Father, that a life will be changed, a life will be directed and instructed into the right direction. So, Father, I bless you today, and I honor you. I honor this house. I honor our bishop and Pastor Jerry for nurturing and caring for me. So, Father, we bless you as we feed into your people. Holy Spirit, teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like you to turn to Genesis 12. I'm an obedient wife, too. Hot diggity. Genesis 12. Because I know my friend is over there praying for me because he loves his wife and he misses me. And he probably got Ricky and Tommy bowed down praying and praising God, too. That's my little dogs. Y'all like, girl, I didn't know you had some babies. Yeah, I got two. I have one daughter, Daryl. She doesn't get much mentioned because she's an adult. You know how you talk about your kids when they're little? But when they become a, you don't have it. Just move on. And then they're going to come back in another season of life, and you're going to have a whole lot to say about them when they look like me. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got enough to say. So, but my sweetheart, Daryl's doing great. She'll be graduating from Emory University. She's a beautiful, beautiful young woman and is committed. So I want you to go to Genesis 12. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. My message, it's not too late to dream. And I believe that as we read the scripture about Abraham, or Abram at that time, we understand that we see someone who basically is an individual who has established himself and probably is on the other side of his life of just kind of resting and just moving through life. But God calls him to a dream. He calls him to an assignment. He calls him to a vision. See, my heart is about getting you to dream again. So I believe that even when my sweetheart, I don't know, he didn't even explain, but what I got is that, you know what? It's not too late. It's time to dream. It's time for you to see that there's more for you to do. So I'm going to start and work my way back from the 75-year-old to the 20-year-old to the 14-year-old because it's not too late to what? Dream. So when we talk about this journey of Abram, he accumulated many, many things. Can you imagine some of us in that place in our lives that, you know, we seem like we're there. We've done everything that we want to do, and now, I don't know, maybe we play with our grandkids. Now Abram's trying to, you know, the Lord's going to speak to him because he's got more to do. He's got more to do. Now, he's 75 here, and he has plenty of time to do what God has called him to do that he doesn't even know at this time when God calls him out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. He has no idea what God has in store other than saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make, and as we read further, we understand that God also is going to bless his seed, and then they will become like the sand. You can't even begin to count them. And I'm sure even at that moment when God said go, he can make an account for everything that he owned. Because the Bible says that he took what? All that he had accumulated, all of his possessions, all of his people, all his stuff. He took it with him. So today is your day to be called out of the familiar into an unfamiliar place. I want you to go over to Acts the 11th chapter. So just hold that for a second. It's time to dream again. I got so much for you. I don't know what he's going to give you, but I got a lot. Amen. We read in chapter 11, Acts 11. I'm going to just set up some stage and I'm going to take you on. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that, I'm in 11:1, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. One of the things that happened to Abram, he received the word of God. He received the instruction of God. But there must be a place in your life that you must get in order to hear what God has to say to you. So when we're talking about moving you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, there's something in between that will get you there. That is your ability to hear what God has to say. Once you begin to hear him, then you have to determine, will I receive the word? Now, we know how that works in our life. If you have children, you ask them, honey, go do this. And they do not move. They do not receive the word. They be nodding and looking at you, you know, and that husband and wife thing, they be like, But they do not receive the word. Knowing that you have received the word, you will show productivity. You will show movement in your life. Let me help you again. Come on back to number 11:2. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, and the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. So now what is happening to Peter? He's doing somewhat unfamiliar things, but he received what? The word of the Lord. When you receive the word of God, you start to move. You start to put your faith into what? Action. But you know, I'm not going to tell you, you won't be challenged, because you will. There's a big gap between hearing God, receiving the word, and doing the word. So he says in 11:4, Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. How many of you have been in a trance? Now, I know y'all probably thinking that's something real, real deep, huh? That old Peter was sitting up there and he just got in a trance. Trust me, you stay there long enough, you're going to see something too. But many of us, God has showed us just a glimpse. That trance is a glimpse of what God wants you to do. But have you been able to what? Catch it. Okay, so he says, he shows him, he gets caught in a trance, and I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to where I was. Now, it's important that you understand that Peter consistently uses the word saw, see. See, saw, perception. He sees the picture. He sees a vision. He's seeing something. Okay? Then he says, I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me. See, you know, God is so awesome. And I know in my journey I have learned to see what God says. What happened here? He saw this vision, He saw the sheet. He saw these four-footed animals. And then he what? Heard. A part of the lesson today is getting to the place where you can see what God says. You want to become the architect of your life. When a word is spoken to you, you must begin to see what God says. So he says here, the word says, then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter. No, Peter, I know you just standing there in that trance. Just stay where you are, Peter. Stay in this place of the familiar. Stay in what you know. Stay in all the things you've been doing for the last 10 years. Just stay right there, Peter. Staying here won't get you where God wants you to go. Staying here won't get you into the place and the destiny of what God has for you. Staying here, Abram, when I tell you to get up and move, won't get you where I want you to go. Because if you stay here, Abram, so, I'll let you fill that gap in. Get up, Peter. Kill and eat. Boy, you know, when you think about what God told him, he says, Peter, you got to move, but more than moving, Peter, you are going to have to do something you have never done before. Peter, no, I don't want you to be nice about it. You're going to have to get ugly about this, Peter. You are going to get crazy about this. You're going to have to pull something in you that you didn't know exists because you're going to have to go after it and destroy it. He says, you're going to have to kill it. Now I want you to eat it. I'm like, okay. This is where most of us lie. We live our lives. Right here. Verse 8. We're happy over here, Lord. Come on now. We're moving along. We're chilling. We got this, you know, I got all my systems down. I know all the laws you told me I need to learn. I'm doing what you told me to do. Don't be trying to ask me to do nothing else. But I know I hear from you, God. I know I saw this vision. I know I heard what you said, but wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up. So number 8, I replied, and that would be Peter. Surely not, Lord. You didn't tell me to get up and eat or kill nothing, did you? Y'all know that that wasn't God. Most of us live in the gap. That wasn't God. Surely not, Lord. Surely you wouldn't ask me to do this. Surely there's someone else who can do this, Lord, but not me. I've got other things to do. I've got these kids to take care of. You know, I'm a single mother. I don't have time for dreams and visions. Surely not, Lord. Find somebody else. So he says, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Now, this is it's so amazing to me when I read the scripture here, and Peter knows he's having a conversation with God. It's not like he's confused. He knows he's talking to God. He, you know, we're in relationship here. But surely not, Lord. Don't you know how I eat? You know what I like. I don't eat no pig feet and stuff right now. Don't be trying to give me no chitlins. I'm in the healthy eating, God. Haven't you seen my habits? I've been going to the Whole Foods Market. You know, I don't roll like that, God. Come on. But I'm amazed that he's talking to God. And when we hear the voice of God, you know, God is so persistent. It's his character. You think you're persistent, but God is really persistent. So he goes back. He says, when, verse 9, the voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened not two times, but three times. And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Now, when God's ready to pull you out of the familiar, well, when we read the next verse, you're going to see something. And this is really the courage that you need to have about where God is wanting to take you in your life. When we talk about fulfilling the destiny and the purpose that God has called for our lives, He always has someone there at the same time that He is preparing you, as He's speaking to you, as He's really, come on. He got you. He said, just come on. I need you to do this for me. At the very same time, something else is occurring over here. Many of us, we think we're doing it alone, but you're part of the body. And there are other parts that are waiting for you to get in line with your part so that they can do what they're supposed to do, but we really think that we're in this alone. Peter's issue. Peter's just not ready to change. He just want to keep eating vegetables. Verse 11, the word says, right then three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And what I mean when God removes, he takes us out of that familiar place and he has someone there waiting. We believe it's really us that we have to do this. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll trust God, if you will trust him to move you to your destiny, there will be someone there to help you. While you're yet thinking, God is already moving over in the north, the east, the south, and the west to bring together what he has purposed for your life, just as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? But let me tell you what's really important about that. When you think about Peter and they're in the upper room and they're praying and Jesus said, y'all stay up here. Stay up here because the Holy Spirit's going to come. Just stay on up there. And here these people. Who are these people? Don't they know what we went through to get this Holy Ghost? Don't they know how long we were up there praying? And here I don't even know these people. These aren't even my kind of people. They were not even there. But God decided the same power that I put on you, this same power that I gave you, this Holy Spirit that he pours on them. And he's like, wow, they got the same thing. And if God can do that out of the system in which he first did it, who am I to what? Oppose God. So my question to you today is, who are you to oppose God? It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, but who are you to oppose God? What's going on in your life in this land of familiar that you're so tied to, that you're so bound to, that you're so in love with, that you can't move to a new place? What's going on? So it's time to dream again. My assignment is to stir you up, that there's a dream inside of you, young man. You're not too young. Do you know that young people around the world are doing great things? So whatever God speaks to you, you better speak it loud. Somebody is going to hear and pay attention. Young entrepreneurs in other countries doing great things. Why? Because somebody's believing them. When God speaks, when they say, God spoke to me, and that young person receives that word, they begin writing. Young people are writing books. They're publishing books at the age of 9. Bestseller list. Who are you to oppose God? So, the book is written to help you to begin to dream again. In order for you to begin to dream, you've got to get to the place where you're no longer wishing for things you see. That's easy, y'all. You see something, oh, I wish I had that. Y'all don't be trying to wish for my jacket, my skirt, my little outfit. Hold up. My belt. Don't wish. Go get you a job. I'm going to tell you what the story is. You can have the dream. Here you go. But go get you a job. Go spend your own money and buy your belt. My little nieces, look, I said, you're looking too hard. Don't look that hard. You have a job. Because, see, you starting to walk in the path of, ooh, ain't it but what I wish. Yeah, you can keep wishing. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to determine, are you a dreamer or are you a wisher? I have learned I'm a dreamer. God has given me a mind that can see a whole lot of things. Some things I don't want to see. Some things I shouldn't see. But then when I see what God sees, amazing things happen in my life. Because then I begin to see what he says. See what he says. We were renovating our home in New York City early in our marriage. And the architect came in, and I'm trying to tell him what I want. He doesn't understand this relationship. He don't understand. Because he keeps telling me what he sees. And I keep saying, here, you're not going to live here. So there is a breach in this relationship. Because you are not what? Understanding what I am saying, nor are you seeing what I say. Until you can get into agreement and see what God says. Because, you know, I was saying, you know, I told that guy, I said, you know what, I tell you what, I don't want this wall. Oh, you must keep this wall. It will maintain the integrity of this building. I said, is this wall holding up anything? I said, somebody else put it up here. I said, if it's not holding up the structure of the building, it's got to go. Oh, no. I'm like, you cannot see. And I told my husband, we need to get rid of him. He can't see what I'm saying. Now, I just hope the Lord is not saying that about you. He keeps trying to tell you something, and you just can't see what he said. You want to do it your own way. You want to keep, no, God. You know. And the Lord is saying, uh-uh, you're not seeing what I'm saying. So do I have to move on to another architect of this dream? And people say, oh, you know what? Oh, girl, I thought of that. Yeah, but what did you do? You didn't have enough sense to receive what God was telling you and begin to move in what he's called you to do. So he says, need another architect. Need another one. Is there one who can see the dream? Is there one who can see what I say? People start to ask, well, Anna, how do you deliver on these dreams? How do you do this? Well, you got to get yourself in a place where you want to hear him. You want to hear him. You want to find yourself living in the gap, never getting too comfortable in the familiar, but always looking forward to what God wants you to do. So you've got to learn to live in the gap of the two. Living in the gap is always an expectation of what God is getting ready to give you. When he begins to speak to you, he will always get you here. You don't need God to live here. You got it. You got your system. You got your rhythm. It's already, you know, it's every day moving. You get up in the morning. You know, that's all in line. But you need God to live in this gap. To live in this space of expectation, of wanting something from him, wanting it so deeply that this is uncomfortable for you. I can't stay here no more. I can't do this one more day. I can't live like this without seeking for my destiny. I know there's greatness in me. People would ask me when I was a little girl, girl, what you going to be when you grow up? I say, great. I figured whatever I was going to do, I was going to be great at it. So you know that greatness is stirring up on the inside of you. But you just keep sitting there, staying comfortable, living in the land of familiar. So let me teach you how to dream again. First thing is you determine, you choose to be a dreamer, not a wisher. The difference is a wisher will look at things they wanted without putting forth the effort. A dreamer, on the other hand, understand that from within themselves come destiny. We're waiting for somebody to open the door, waiting for somebody to say, oh, girl, yeah, I see your gifts. I see your talents. Yeah, you did it. No, destiny comes from within. So you make the decision. Which one will you be today? Will you keep wishing, looking out? I wish I had that. That's nice. Ooh. And I'm trying to give you a clue. If you're saying words like this, yes, you are a wisher. Because you're looking at what exists. And see, dreamers are always seeking for what does not exist when we talk about in the kingdom come. The Bible says the kingdom is within you, but you got to understand that you got to get to the place to see it. What kingdom lives within you? What does God want to deliver to the earth realm? What does he want to deliver through you? Why are you here? Figure it out early. Live a great life. Don't wait till you get old and make all these mistakes and then say, I think I was born for something. Make the decision that, yes, you were born for something now, regardless to where you are. We talked about Abram being 75 and got all his people and feeling real comfortable over here, but now he's got to take everything that he has and begin to move through this gap and trust God. He still doesn't know what God wants him to do. It's okay if you don't know what God wants you to do, too. What did Abram begin to do? He began to seek God. He began to say, well, show me, God, show me. That's a key word, because I told you, as you begin to see what God says, you'll begin to be able to do what God has spoken to you. All of our destiny, we're just a word spoken. Anna, just a word spoken. And what are you going to do with that spoken word that God has given to you? So starting to dream again. Woo-hoo. I'm starting to see women's lives change around the world. This message to stir you up that whatever your life is today, God's got a bigger dream. He's got a bigger life for you, no matter how old or young you are. Where you start is not where you end. Many of you know that. Y'all looking at a living testimony. Say, boys, y'all would have gave up on me sitting in them pews. That girl, she came in here, oh, Lord. I remember one of the first times I came to Crusade, you know I was crazy. I had been on the Love Connection, and they did the taping that day, and I thought I was cuter than a button. Yes, I did. But I came in here, and I said, Lord God, please don't ever let that tape show up, because I had cut all my hair off. It was about this long, and it was straight up, just blow dry, straight up, and I had nerve enough to think I was cute. Not only that, I remember what I had on. I had an orange shirt on. With a little suit, but the pants wasn't no pants, they were shorts, and I just rolled my little stuff right on up in here. How y'all doing, people? But thank God, who can deliver me from this body? Thank God, thanks be to Jesus Christ. So don't worry about it. Wherever you are today doesn't mean it's where you're going to end. The only difference between that woman then and this woman now is time. Time to what? Get from the place of the familiar in your life, Anna, to doing something that God really wants you to do in your life. The only difference here is being able to convert the time that God had given me into something of value. Starting to hear what they were saying. Well, Anna, you know, the word says, Anna. And then Pastor Jerry, she pulled my little coattail, Anna. Starting to listen. When I hear it, I'd be like, okay, I've got to convert that. How do I convert that? I was just so eager. I was so teachable. Whatever I can do, let me do this. Let me do anything. They wouldn't let me do nothing here, really. They say, this girl, we got to work with her. Ain't that right, Evangelist Harper? She's special. But they were, you know, I believe their assignment was discipline, teaching me how to be disciplined. I had so much energy, so much just passion, so much... Calm down, Anna. It's going to be all right. I didn't have enough sense to just quiet myself and listen. But every time they took, no, just sit down right there. It'll be all right, Anna. They were getting me to what? Start to hear. Keep hearing, Anna. Just keep hearing. I remember Bishop told me, he says, Anna, every time the door is open, you need to be sitting in a seat. Now, you know that was bad, y'all. You think, what in the world were you doing? Too much? too much of not the right things, too much of living in a land of familiar when God wanted me to be here. The first time that I stood on the altar when I came to be a member of the church, Pastor Jerry, it was about 15 of us up there. And then we had all gone through the new members class. I don't know if y'all had to do that, but we had to go through these long classes to convert us to really understand that we was Christians. All that running up to the altar, thank you, Lord. You know, you go in to make classes, 10 classes, huh? What, how many? It's 5. Praise the Lord. At least we can get you in here a whole lot faster. Where's that Pastor Ford? Pastor Ford, you know, you don't get much from him. You're going to get the same thing. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Same thing. Yes, Hannah. Mm-hmm. You want to receive the Holy Spirit. So I'm in that line, and this really impacted me so deeply. We're in the line with all the people. Pastor Jerry was, welcoming us to the church, and she didn't really say anything. She didn't know me, really. And I was in that line, but she stopped, but she was going, she was just talking about everything. But she got to me, she stopped. She says, "You belong to the kingdom of God." What does that mean? What about the rest of these people? You ain't told them that. Starting to get me out of the familiar and bringing me what? Into the land of the unfamiliar. Saying, "Anna, we're going to have to get you out the world." She said, "The devil wants you, but we're not going to let him have you. We're going to do everything." And I tell people when they ask me about the leadership of Crusade Christian Faith Center, Bishop Virgil and Pastor Jerry, I say, you know, they were some really interesting people. And many of you would agree. I said, when I think of them as people who it seemed like they could see my soul. They could really see my soul, you know? And it was just like they were some big old Doberman pinching or something, that when something would get close to me, that they would go crazy about it, just in the spirit of things, and you see it be revealed in the flesh. It may sound crazy, but if you see them guarding your soul, anything that comes into that atmosphere to violate that soul, I could see them. That's my image of them. I mean, that I could just relate is that it was beyond just saying they were real nice. They were nice, but they wasn't that nice. Do you understand? I don't think by them being real nice, I'd be who I am today. But I believe having that bulldog spirit that says, you know what, you won't have this one. Talking to the devil. She was talking to me like she was crazy many times. Things I thought was rough in my tough. You know, these are tough decisions I need to make. She come up with something crazy to say to you. Just, I'd be like, where Jesus? But those were the things I needed, because I was crazy. She just met me where I was, just Anna, you just tell me straight up. She didn't seem like she had any compassion. Am I speaking to the rest of y'all too? But I thank God she didn't have compassion. She hit me right where I needed to be hit to say, "Anna, wake up. Don't you know who you are?" And I'm asking, "Don't you know who you are? It's time to wake up, people." Y'all probably say, "Anna don't have no compassion either. Don't fall far from the tree." So let's get back to your dream. That it's time for you to dream again. Maybe you have a dream in your heart right now. You don't know what to do with it. What I'd like you to do is go back to God. See, we get a dream, and we think it's just supposed to come. One of the things the Lord has shown me in our ability to be able to produce the way we do, to convert the Word of God in our lives, is that you've got to go back time and time again. When we think about God giving Moses the instruction to build the tabernacle, you think that was really, really quick? You take you 15 minutes to read about it. I wonder how long it took God to tell him. He told him the details. Do it exactly like this. I wonder how many times Moses walked away and he had just a little bit of something. And then he says, well, I don't really understand that, God, but can you tell me a little bit more? And then he'd walk away with that, and he says, yeah, I got to do it. But what about this, God? What about this? I know you told me to put this over here, but what about this? And because we don't go back to him, we have dreams that are just lying all over the place, dreams that are still buried in the crevices of your heart. Why? Because he showed you. You remember that little glimpse of the dream? You don't know what to do with it. And I'm telling you what you need to do with it is to go back. Say, God, okay, now, I remember. Pull them journals out. Some of y'all done forgot what God told you because you can't remember. You can't remember. Your memory is as long as the shortest pencil you got that you wrote it down on. But keep going right back to him, so that you can get what he wants you to have. And you've got to do it over and over and over again. One of the things I teach the women, as dreamers, we're going to get exactly what we need. When you go into worship, why are you there? Why are you there? I had an opportunity to spend some time with some women early this week, and they have what's called a worship night, and they invited me to come in into a home with 30 women. And I was in there. She says, well, whatever you like to do in. And I said, I want to do what you do. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to just do what you do. She says, well, we spend our time in worship. We just put the music on and we just play worship and let the women just lay out, just go into worship. I said, well, okay, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to see what I can get to. So we're there and we're in worship and these women and some are wailing, some are just, laying out before the Lord. And when it was my turn, when we came out of that place, she says, Anna, I said, thank you. And I looked at the woman, and I said, what did you see? And they was acting like I was speaking a foreign language. What did you see? We were in worship for 90 minutes, but what did you see? I start going around the room, pointing them out. What did you see? What did you see? One or two of them, they said, well, Lord showed me this. One said, the Lord showed me children's books. Another one says, the Lord showed me, that I need to, I'm a script writer. I said, but how will you convert what God showed you into what you do upon the earth today? One lady, she says, well, the Lord. She couldn't come out of there, y'all. She just. And I said, okay, you're in the deep place. I said, now, I understand that. But all the deepness that God is showing you, how will you convert him pushing you on that swing into your life today? What's going on in your life that you need a push? That you're not converting what God is showing you into helping you move further into your life. We go into worship and we're there. For what? Thy kingdom come. He's pouring his hope into you. So that when you come out of those places, those private moments, those times of prayer, that you can begin to execute in your life today. So when we think about worship, not thinking about it the same. That we go into that place. We want to see what God is saying. What is he saying to you? And as he begins to speak, how will you convert? So one of the ladies, she says, she started telling us about her children's book. She was so excited in what God had shown her and all of these things. And then I said this question. When will you finish it? She said, what do you mean? Because see, in her mind, she wasn't thinking about this had already started. There is no way back for you. Do you understand? Once she was finished, the Lord had already begun the work. But we're thinking, oh, because I don't know what to do. I can't write. I can't, I can't do this. I can't invent. I can't create. I can't, then I hadn't started it. But I'm telling you something. If you have a dream that God has shown you, you have not received it yet, perhaps. But if he's shown you, it's already started. And the question is, when will you finish it? That's where we come in. That's my life. When are you going to finish this? We don't want to talk about starting. Starting started up there when we were up there trying to reach and get it. God, what do you have for me? We're in the starting point right there. Jesus came to finish the work. He didn't talk about, I'm going down that earth. I'm going to go down there, I'm going to show up in flesh. I'm going to just hang out with the people. I'm going to walk among them. I'm going down there, y'all. The whole time he was here, he was telling you what his finish was going to be. He was telling you this is what it's going to look like. He's trying to prepare the disciples. This is what it's going to look like when the time comes. He talks about what finishing the work. We spend our time just, you know, I'll be talking to these women about wear me out. See them 1 week. They got a cute little business card. Next week, what? Y'all know what they got? Another one. How many of these you going to start? I asked one lady, you have a legal entity? No, uh-uh. I just do it out of my house. I said, well, okay, what if somebody comes and who can give you the provision for the dream that you have? What if? She's like, why? Because we spend our, we get excited. I'm getting ready to get married. Nobody talking about finishing that thing. That until death do us part. I ain't heard nobody say nothing about that. No, you want to talk about starting? Who getting married up in here? Y'all scared. Don't raise your hand, baby. Don't raise your hand. See, you're excited about that. You're excited about the wedding day. But what about that day when it won't feel so good? This is part of the finishing work of marriage. What about the ugly that's in you? That marriage going to get out of you? You ain't talking about that because that's a part of the finishing work. Of getting you ready and getting you to be the person that you're supposed to be. No, it was nice. I went, girl, it was pretty. You should have seen everything. Come on, baby. But what about finishing the work? That's what you've been sent here to do, to finish. So I want each one of you to think about something. You got some paper? I want you to think about three things you started. Now, don't try to act like, well, I don't really want to do that no more. I want you to just think about three things you started. Doesn't matter whether you want to do it or it feels good or whatever. They could be simple things like cleaning out your office. Maybe cleaning out your closet. Whatever. Some of y'all need some extra money? Just clean out your closet. Do a garage sale. I met a young man, he was talking about, I need to make some money. I said, well, just do a garage sale. Saw him a few weeks later. He said, I did a garage sale. You're not going to believe how much I made. I said, no. He said, $1,400. $1,400 worth of stuff you started working on that you don't like no more. Finish it. Sell it. Get rid of it. Think of those three things in your life that you started. Everybody wrote them down? Some of y'all scared to write them three things down. Shoot, Anna probably be knocking on my door. I told you I'm into finishing it. I have women's phone numbers and alarms on my cell phone telling me that they're going to do this, they're going to write a book, they're going to publish it, they're going to finish it by this day. I don't bother them. I'm just waiting for them to get over here. They over there, and I'm just waiting for them to get in the unfamiliar to finish the work that God has told them to do. On finishing day, that's when I want to talk to you. And I ask them, what time? People are like, huh? I said, what time will we have that celebration call? I said, well, it's only going to go two ways. One, you're going to be crying and whining, giving me excuses of why you didn't do it. The second part of the conversation, girl, ooh, praise the Lord, I am done with this. I'm telling you, when you finish something, it just does something for the soul. You know, like when you finish a good plate of food? Don't leave nothing on that plate. It does something, what? For the soul. So I want you to think about those three things. Now I want you to think about what day will you finish? Mama, where are your three things? Somebody give Mama some paper. She ain't got no paper. My mama's sitting over there in the green. Mama, wave at the people. Let them know you're being rebellious. Let them know. Give her some paper so she can get in the flow. Look at it. There you go, Pastor Luffy. Look, that's what I like about God. She'll get me later. But see, when you need something and you put on the spot, on blast, God delivers. Because I know my mama got some stuff she need to do. She done started and she ain't finished. So give me a date. Number one. Number two, what's the day you're going to finish it? What about the third day? What day will you finish it? Make the commitment. See, that's the problem. You don't want to make a commitment. Make the commitment. All right, now I want you to go back to number one. What time will you be finished? You'll be like, come on now, pick 12 a.m. or something if you need the whole day. But put a time that you're going to be done with this. It's amazing how we can adjust our lives to the time constraints of other people. But I'm talking about your credibility right now. Are you credible with yourself? You're the only one God told that dream or vision to. You're the one who knows it, only you and He. So are you being credible with yourself? So you got your time? All right, here's my email. Boy, the head email, what you need? We don't need her email. I don't want your email. I ain't even write it down. All right, I'm going to see who's real. My email is A. McCoy. Let me give you the easy one. Anna McCoy. I don't want you to act like, what'd she say? It's too much. Anna McCoy at me.com. I don't know how you could forget that one. Me, M-E.com. I don't want you to think too much. Just me.com. Anna McCoy at me.com. Now, when you get home, I want you to send me your list. Don't be scared. Don't you be scared. Just send me the list. Which way is it going to go? You're going to make that decision. You're going to send me the list. I'm going to put your little thing in my little calendar. It's going to give me a little pop-up reminder on your day. Will we celebrate? Now, I'm just using me as an example of, I believe, what occurs when we don't keep our commitment to God. See, it's easy for you to just, let me write, I ain't sending Anna no email. You sending God one? God gives you an instruction for you to do things, but over and over again, you just let the day go by. Let the day go by. Here's another day. No, that's more important. Let me go. Girl, you want to go out to the... Yeah, let the day go by. That's credibility. And I'm just saying, I want to hold you accountable. Just hold you accountable. The Holy Spirit trying to say, girl, you need to do that. Girl, you need to do that. So I know some of y'all need a physical one. So I'm going to just be that little voice for you. When your day comes, what kind of conversation are we going to have? Now, if you're really scared, don't give me your phone number. Because if I'm not calling you, my assistant may be, hello, this is Shauna. I'm calling on behalf of Anna McCoy. She wanted me to call and verify if you were able to complete that assignment that you gave yourself. What would you like me to share with her? It's your decision. And at the end of this day, at the end of this moment, I have testimonies all over the world. People been in audience just like this. They had things that they knew God told them to do. They did not do them. But the ones we put something in place, say, okay, why don't you just send me an email? Tell me what you're trying to do. Women are writing books. They are starting businesses. They're getting into the proper relationships. Why? Because now they can execute. But what about you? Now, I know you can go to work. I know you can do all those things. You can take care of your children. But what about the dreams that God has put in your heart? Can you deliver on those? Pastor Jerry, I'll let you know about your people, too, if they send me any emails. I'm going to say, honey, your people just did not respond to this message. Now, and I'm going to send her a message back about y'all. And you can read it to all the people. I'm going to put my name on it. Anna McCoy said such and such. Because I was, and you know what, Pastor Jay, I am surprised so-and-so Pastor Lorraine didn't send me her list. Did you know stuff like that? Pastor Lorraine be telling, girl, my computer wouldn't work. Go to the library. Evangelist Harper be saying, I don't use, you took my picture off your computer, Evangelist Harper. So I want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. So a part of this dream process is being able to go back to God and stay committed. Go back, get the details of what God desires for you. The rest of the book is teaching you about execution, learning how to execute on the dreams that God gives you. I also teach you about your brand. Your brand new doesn't resemble Jesus Christ. Do you resemble Jesus? Do you have the character, the attributes, the value system? Will you deliver on your promise? And then we talk about getting to know who you really are. You say you love Jesus, but do your values align with your actions? So at the end of the day, I want to encourage you that it's time to dream again. It's time for you to begin to execute on what God has given you. So not only woman act now, man act now. You're not excluded. You can read the book. Just drop the W-O and the S's, and it's going to apply to you too. So God bless you. You're loved. You're appreciated, and thank you.
We thank God for the gift of Anna McCoy, and we thank God for the message that all of us can dream again. She didn't leave, or he didn't leave any of us out. When she pointed out Abraham still had an assignment at 75, none of us have an excuse. Is that right? Immediately following the service, I'm